Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Hey folks, today's show is brought to you in part by Plexaderm. Picture your face in the mirror. Do you see all those wrinkles around your eyes? How about crow's feet or those large under eye bags? Ew. Now imagine that they're gone. I'm not talking about some risky, expensive surgery. Just gone in a matter of minutes. It's called Plexaderm, a clinically studied serum that visibly eliminates wrinkles, crow's feet, and under eye bags in just minutes. It's the edge you've been looking for. Well, if you don't believe it, I didn't believe it until I tried it, and that was it. I was sold. It took me like 10 minutes to look 10 years younger. Simply put, I was blown away by the results. Plexaderm can give you the confidence you'll need to be yourself at work or out with friends. The best part is Plexaderm goes on clear, so nobody will know that you're using it. Unless you tell them, of course. And who wants to tell them? Keep it to yourself. Go to triplexaderm.com. Use my code SEXYLIBERAL for 50% off plus an additional $10 off. That's right, 50% off plus an extra $10 off. This offer is also available by calling 1-800-685-1292, 1-800-685-1292, and mentioning the code SEXYLIBERAL. Plexaderm is backed by a 30-day money-back guarantee. Visit triplexaderm.com today and use the code SEXYLIBERAL at checkout. That's triplexaderm.com. And now let the cartoons begin.
Broadcasting from Resistance Headquarters, relentlessly fighting back against the clown dictator and his regime of deplorables.
Never give up, never surrender.
This is the Bob Zeska Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Son, we live in a world that has walls, and those walls have to be guarded by men with guns. Who's gonna do it? You? You, Lieutenant Weinberg? I have a greater responsibility than you can possibly fathom. You weep for Santiago and you curse the Marines. You have that luxury. You have the luxury of not knowing what I know, that Santiago's death, while tragic, probably saved lives. And my existence, while grotesque and incomprehensible to you, saves lives. You don't want the truth because deep down in places you don't talk about at parties, you want me on that wall. You need me on that wall. We use words like honor, code, loyalty. We use these words as the backbone of a life spent defending something. You use them as a punchline. I have neither the time nor the inclination to explain myself to a man who rises and sleeps under the blanket of the very freedom that I provide and then questions the manner in which I provide it. I would rather you just said thank you and went on your way. Otherwise, I suggest you pick up a weapon and stand a post. Either way, I don't give a damn what you think you are entitled to.
Did you order the code red?
I did the job.
Did you order the code red?
You're goddamn right I did!
Bob Zeska!
Hello, Zeska. You're looking radiantly maternal.
The Bob Zeska Show!
He keeps confessing. He makes our job so easy, doesn't he? From the nation's capital, it is Tuesday, September 24, 2019, and this is the Bob Zeska Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com. It is the greatest goddamn soap in the universe. Hi, what's up? My name is Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Hi, day 978 of the Trump crisis, 406 days until the 2020 presidential election, and, oh, guess what? My friend Buzz is back. Hey, Buzz.
Hi, Bob. Hi, everybody. Oh, man, it's good to be back.
Yes.
It's great to be back. You look great. You do look radiant.
Radiantly maternal.
I thought it was just me. Does the lighting in here make us look orange? Do you think? Because
a little bit.
That sense. Well, as you know, I took off last week because last week wasn't very funny. Why I don't work. I don't work when that's the case. I was actually in Kansas last week trying to track down one of those record players. I watched a little Fox News while I was there. Did you know, I learned so much. Did you know that Obama spent more money on chewing gum than it cost to build the border wall? Until I watched Fox.
I didn't want to. I'm so sorry that you had to endure that.
Yes, it was rougher than you can imagine. And it's the new fall season, of course. There were supposed to be three of us in the cast for Bob's show this year, but turns out the other guy had a racist video, so he's out.
Another? God damn it.
It's just you and me, Bob.
That's what I'm told.
People... And before we start, you know, into all the terrible, horrible and everything, people ask me, how do you keep dealing with all this day after day? But I don't want anybody to worry about me. I'm determined to enjoy life. And, for example, right now, I'm really, really looking forward to my Thomas Cook vacation. So I think everything's going to be okay.
All right.
At least there's that, right?
It's so nice to have you back with all of your dad
is
jokes.
It really? Is it really?
Yes, of course it is.
It's just a fun exercise we do, right?
Yes.
It's a warm-up.
And of course, you missed Thursday where we were all just sobbing openly throughout the second segment of the show.
So was I, but for different reasons.
That's right. That's what I heard. That's what I heard. You have you tweeted a journalism tip for anyone who's who's interested. Yeah, did you want to want to repeat that for our podcast?
No, okay.
You're gonna have to go to Michael J. Elston at Twitter and find that out.
Well, what I said was, and people were very kind, and I didn't mean to be selfish with this, because I know I'm not alone in this, I felt after a couple of frustrating years, it was time to let my father know that my feelings were hurt by the fact that he never listens to my show. I know that he's proud of me on some levels, but this not so much.
Mm-hmm.
And he has prided himself on being someone who listens to both sides, and I tried to explain to him that Lester isn't really the other side. He's sort of the middle and afraid to report certain things that would offend part of his audience, including you, and the right side. But he's not listening to his own son, his own flesh and blood, who isn't just some schlub, I don't think. Well, kind of a schlub, but I do have some experience and some acknowledgement as a journalist. And I think right now, my feeling is I'm doing some of the best work of my life.
Yes, so, you are.
Yeah, it's painful. And I had two choices. I could either continue to not say anything and, you know, worry about this week after week, or I could just say something, be selfish and say something to get the burden off of me and onto my elderly father.
Right,
and it didn't go well. He saw it.
Shit.
And I want people to know, I didn't say this in the post, I never presented it as make a choice, Hannity or me. Fox or me. I didn't present that choice. He took it to mean that.
Of course.
And from appearances, he's chosen Hannity. So that hurts a little.
Yeah, a little
bit. I mean, I love, especially because I do love my dad. I'm not just making this up. So and here's the thing. I posted it because, and I got some responses to this effect. I know I'm not alone. We are, in many ways, brother against brother right now, or son against father, vice versa. And that's just a terrible, terrible place to be. And it's not going to get any better with what clearly is an impeachment beginning now.
Yeah. Did your dad say anything about all of this, or was this after you'd returned home?
No, he was unaware of this for reasons you can only speculate about.
Sure, yeah.
He hadn't really been watching it as much, although it was on every TV in the house, you know, on low volume, but it was on all the time, so that it, you know, so that continues to get drilled into his head, except for when it was on the 700 Club, and then, you know, so
Jesus Christ,
yeah, I was a little uncomfortable, you know, but I handled it well, and we had a wonderful visit up until that last day when I decided it was important to confront him rather than to continue to carry this.
Yeah,
frustration inside.
Well, everyone's going through it. I mean, everyone's going through that process of tiptoeing around these issues, tiptoeing around the word Trump, with many of their family members. And I know, I mean, we all care about our family members, regardless of who they voted for. But it's really, really challenging sometimes. And I admire the fact that you did finally ask him. You finally did break the ice there, because I don't have the guts to do it myself. I'm trying desperately to avoid it myself with my dad.
I feel absolutely awful. He's an elderly man at this point, and this hurt him. He said he felt like he was being forced to make a choice. That wasn't the case from my perspective, but that's how he took it. And I feel guilty about, you know, I unburdened myself, but now I put it on this poor elderly man who has been otherwise a great father and someone I love and admire. So, you know, yeah, it was tough. It was tough. But I know that a lot of people are going through that. And, you know, I'm thinking about the upcoming televised impeachment hearings and the positive effect it will have.
Well, I can't let you drop that without having some music for it. Televised impeachment hearings.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. In color.
Yeah.
And what I realize, especially after this visit, is although it will persuade independents, which we still have many independents to convince. There have been reluctant Democrats. I don't think so much anymore. I don't think in the coming days there will be any left. But there's that segment of Trump supporters, Trump voters. They're not going to watch.
No.
They're not going to watch. They're going to see their propaganda clips and listen to Limbaugh and watch Fox, which will carefully edit the proceedings to satisfy that audience. And they're not going to know. I don't know that we'll get through to them. And I worry about this brother against brother division we're all faced with.
Well, it's going to be fascinating to observe and to see how they end up ultimately reacting to the proceedings here, because it's to me, they're just painted into a corner. We can expect Donald Trump, and he's already acting this way. He's already acting like a trapped animal. Rudy Giuliani already acting like a trapped animal, because they are indeed trapped, and they're trapped because of their own, to borrow a G. Gordon Liddy word, their own nitwittery. This is all about Donald Trump blabbing the truth, which I'm entirely grateful for. I'm really happy that he has confessed. I'm happy that Rudy Giuliani has confessed. The confounding thing is all the Republicans going around going, well, when the facts play out, like Mitt Romney, maybe we need to see more. Steve Scalise tweeted something like that today, too. It's like, maybe we need to see more information before we pass judgment on this. He confessed, for God's sake. How much more information do you possibly need?
But at least Romney said, and I understand the weakness of what Romney said there, but I also understand a little bit of cojones in that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You
know, coming out and saying, and that's a good sign, despite everything else despicable about Mitt Romney, that's a good sign. And I'm seeing cracks and I'm seeing weaknesses. And some of them are on the attack, you know, like as they usually are. Jim Jordan and others are saying the usual things, but there just isn't that sort of enthusiastic support this time. They're covering. Many are covering for him. I grant you that. Some are defending him, supporting him, saying what he did was okay. Others are just laying low and not saying anything. Let's count the. This is what never gets counted. Let's count the number of Republicans who aren't saying anything.
That's a great idea. Yeah, that's a better way to do it. In fact, I think that's an easier count to make. Boy,
Others who've been buttonholed. One said, you know, just I'm not talking about that right now.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's if that doesn't tell you something, and I think it does. I think they realize, and I think they will continue to learn over the coming days, that this may not be a horse they want to back. I keep running into people. I keep running into people online who say, "Oh, McConnell will kill it. I'll get to. I never go anywhere. I'll go to the Senate." No, 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 no. You're missing this. You're missing this entirely. Please. Yeah. And I've actually, you know, talked some people off the ledge, which I'm very excited about. In terms of this is different than all the other times.
Yes,
this
it is.
A clear. You can hold it in your hand. Impeachable offense. It's also, as somebody put it, it's a gut thing. It's a case where you don't have to know the law to know it's wrong. You just know it's wrong.
Yeah, and that's the amazing thing about all of this, because it's pretty clear cut. I mean, there is the obfuscation that's going on with regard to Biden and Ukraine and Hunter Biden and all that crap, which I have the full background on. If anyone has questions about that shit, I can certainly answer your question, but I'd actually rather not, because I think the focus needs to remain on Trump himself, Rudy Giuliani, this whole quid pro quo deal with Ukraine and their President Zelensky. And now there's an entire series of breaking news items here that have come down over the past hour or so, just before we started the show. For example, Howard Fineman, I just caught this tweet by Howard Fineman. This is encouraging news, which, by the way, as soon as we post this podcast, that's when Nancy Pelosi is going to step out and make a big announcement. Invariably, it is going to happen. And no, we're not going to keep doing this show for the next 4 hours until she starts talking.
But we can make an alternate version.
Yeah.
When Nancy Pelosi came out for impeachment today, now you can edit that in, you see.
That's a great idea.
It'll be updated.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. But Howard Fineman said, a very solid Dem House leadership source just confirmed to me that Speaker Pelosi will announce a formal impeachment inquiry this afternoon and imply she herself favors impeachment of Donald Trump. Yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And just in time. Mm-hmm. And just in time.
Yeah, perfect.
A couple of years too late.
Yeah, that may be true. But there's already lots of damage that's been created by Donald Trump in these past couple of years. But the fact
is, much of which we can fix, some of which we can't.
Yeah, exactly right. There are some structural things that I think can be fixed. There are a lot of discourse things that I think are going to be very difficult to fix. But, you know, I'm not shoving Donald Trump out the door yet. I mean, we're not that lucky just yet. It's a matter of time still. But I'm feeling more and more confident that it is going to happen in some way, shape, or form, whether it's the impeachment or the election or a combination of the two, right?
Absolutely. I mean, this is doom for Donald Trump one way or the other. I'm for enforcing the law. I'm for going on record with history and saying, yeah, we screwed around for a while, but we finally did hold this president accountable. Mm-hmm. So we ought to get something for that. Here's why I like being on your show, Bob.
Okay.
Aside from
thank God.
Aside from being able to tell the dad jokes, you are really really smart. You've been right about so many things. You predicted this damage to our democracy. I wasn't glad. I thought, oh gosh, no, Bob, democracy's strong. It can't be. No, democracy, as it turns out, is quite fragile, and Trump is just the guy to break it.
Yeah.
And the other thing is that you've always said that invariably proves to be true is that Trump always makes things worse for Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see how smart you are and why I like to be here?
Well, thank you for saying that. I think some people on Twitter would argue with you, but yeah. I appreciate the kudos. I've seen all along, and I guess through my experience of covering politics for so many years, and then also having a bit of an education in that field. But
you're going to hold that over me.
Well, no, I mean I forget most of what I learned in college. Don't get me wrong here.
I know. No, you and I think mostly because of the stuff we're interested in are self-educated, and that's totally legitimate.
Yeah,
because we have been careful to use proper sources for that.
But meanwhile, the next bit of breaking news here, Buzz, is that Ukraine, according to the Daily Beast, Ukraine is likely to reopen the investigation into Burisma, which is that gas company in Ukraine that Hunter Biden worked for. I guess the check cleared. I guess the money that was released, whatever it was, a week ago, 10 days ago, whenever they finally received the $250 million plus the additional $140 million that no one ever knows about. And then there was another, $700 million back in the summer that was also put on hold. So, I mean, there's, $1 billion that Donald Trump has withheld and then paid made out to Ukraine on this weird timeline surrounding all of these phone calls and the discussion of investigating Hunter Biden and this gas company. And by the way, don't let anyone say that Ukraine was an investigate. And by the way, I'm just really hesitant to go down this road. I just want to as a point of clarification.
Really shouldn't.
Don't let anyone say that Hunter Biden was under investigation. He was not under investigation at any point in time. In fact, Lutsenko, who is the previous prosecutor general in Ukraine, said that there was no wrongdoing found on behalf of Hunter Biden or, of course, Joe Biden either. So just want to get that out. Just want to make sure that we're all entirely clear on that bit of information.
It's all verifiable. Absolutely.
Yeah. But this is a fascinating turn on the impeachment front. Nancy Pelosi, apparently, according to Huffington Post, is leaning toward Adam Schiff as the public face of impeachment. There's been a rift developing, in case you hadn't noticed, between Nancy Pelosi and Jerry Nadler, because I think Nadler wants to move ahead and Nancy Pelosi wasn't ready to do it yet. But Nadler pushed forward anyway with the Judiciary Committee. And so now there's tension. There's a little bit of tension there between those two.
But now I'm also hearing, Bob, that there's the plan. One of the plans being looked at is merging the Intelligence and Judiciary Committees for these impeachment hearings.
So
it would be, as I understand it, both Schiff and Nadler. And I think ultimately if they could both be involved in that, then both would come away happy.
Yeah.
You know, Nancy's personal thing with Nadler, like you said, he's been, I think, for impeachment long before that was on the record.
Yeah, I think he was paying attention to Twitter. That's what he was doing. And so he was acting on that. And I'm glad, I'm gratified that Jerry Nadler went forward and started a process in the Judiciary Committee, which gave us that Corey Lewandowski hearing last week. But with this, I'm not exactly sure what the plans are as far as combining them. I assume they're going to form a select committee to investigate these matters. And I hope they also toss into the bucket. I hope it's not just going to be impeachment based on Ukraine. I hope they're going to throw in all of the obstruction of justice, some of the stuff from Trump Russia, and obviously a lot of the other personal actions, Helsinki, Charlottesville, some of those things in there too.
most all of those things, if not all of those things, are listed in the articles of impeachment that have been or are now being written up to go along with this. But again, this Ukraine thing, and we should also underscore that it isn't just this phone call that everybody's focused on. The phone call is the big red flag.
Yeah.
But there's more to this. This pressure had gone on for months, and then this withholding of the money. And, I wanted to address, you mentioned Ukraine earlier. I didn't quite have a chance to jump in on that. Ukraine is kind of hard to figure out here. We have a new president there who's a stand-up comedian.
Uh-huh.
And
he played the president on a TV show.
Right.
Jesus.
But he's anti-Russia. He's pro-West.
Yeah.
He's anti-corruption. This is a good guy to have in that position. Trump has had a grudge against Ukraine for a long time. He thinks Ukraine plotted with Hillary to beat him up in the 2016 election.
Of course
election.
He did,
It's one of those conspiracy theories again. Where the money, he may have made the phone call to Zelensky, but Zelensky has been resistant to this pressure for all of these months, throughout the spring and throughout the summer. Zelensky has resisted and resisted. Why the change? The Ukrainian legislature got wind of this, and they are the ones who are saying, well, you know, maybe we should launch an investigation. And a lot of it, whether we're talking about President Zelensky or separately the Ukrainian legislature, they're all just scared to death of Russia. The military pressure from Russia is day after day after day after day, and they're doing everything they can to keep up. They're trying to hang on to their country, and it's very important to the United States and our allies that we don't let Russia take any more of Ukraine, if not the whole thing. So this is vital to U.S. interest, to world interest, and certainly to Ukraine's interest. Ukraine is scared stiff. They need that money yesterday.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, if you, investigation, sure. We'll do an event, whatever. Just send us the cash you said you were going
to
send.
Well, I mean, the other dimension to this is that I'm sure Vladimir Putin is not happy with the fact that that money was finally released to Ukraine. Because this hampers right. Vladimir Putin's efforts in Ukraine. And plus the fact that in a relationship sense, Donald Trump has decided to go to one of Putin's competitors to get some help on this election, as opposed to going to Putin on the last election and getting his help on that one. Is that, hey, you know what? I'm sorry. This is kind of like Fredo Corleone going to Johnny Ola and getting help when Michael wouldn't help him.
Moving down the scale, you know, Russia's the biggest country there, and then Ukraine. Ukraine, which is connected or adjacent to it,
yeah.
is the second biggest country. So I haven't looked at a map. I need to find out what the next third adjacent, biggest adjacent country is.
Yeah, in fact, Donald Trump said today at the UN, he said that Ukraine is a barrier between Russia and the UK.
Trump is a fucking idiot.
No, it is not. It is nowhere near the UK.
Well, in a way it is, and he wants to remove that barrier. I mean, is it? No. Is the UK on the other side of Ukraine? No. Well, no.
No.
It's some distance away, but it is a further eroding of the distance between Russia and free Europe.
Well, I was thinking that maybe he meant to say the EU and instead said the UK, which is more accurate. Well, the EU.
It's all, as he's pointed out before, they have so many names.
Yeah.
It's really hard.
Later in the show, we're actually going to talk about Donald Trump's remarks to the UN. He actually took a nap on the dais today, but we'll put that off till later on because we got to talk more about this. Because this is, to me, this is the thing that we've all been waiting for, the unequivocal criminality, the thing that you cannot wiggle out of. And it was that way before Donald Trump said a goddamn word about it last week. Mm-hmm. And then he spoke up and confirmed the story.
Digging himself deeper.
Digging. And so this is the
crime you can hold in your hand. That's the best way to think about
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
This is the most, A potential crime like this makes impeachment much easier.
Mm-hmm.
Afraid of impeachment? Good news. It just got a lot easier.
Yeah.
This is a huge development for the folks who would like to see Trump impeached.
And then he keeps contradicting himself, Buzz. Like, he changed his story today. He claimed but the other day he said it's about Ukraine being honest instead of corrupt. And then today he said the reason he withheld the money, which is a whole other story that we got to get to here in a second. The reason he withheld the money back in the summer was because it's unfair that the U.S. pays more than anyone else, which is absolutely wrong, in fact, because... Speaking of the EU pays more money to support Ukraine than the United States. In fact, the EU pays double what the United States pays. And in fact, the United States pays just around the same as Germany and Japan. So it's not like we're way out on a limb paying more than anyone else to Ukraine, as Donald Trump described today. So again, these things are easily verifiable, and it makes it even worse when Donald Trump is contradicting himself from moment to moment to moment. He's just scrambling to try to get a story out there. And, I always think about the Fox News people. I think about the Red Hats and Trump supporters, like, and not in a sympathetic way by any stretch of the imagination, but the smoke just must be firing out of their ears like Uncle Fester right now, because just trying to keep up with the latest iteration of the bullshit. You know what I mean? Oh, that's the new bullshit. Oh, I was still working off the old bullshit. It's like with Hollywood, they have to have scripts printed out on different colored paper so you can look at your neighbor and say, oh, you've got the yellow script. I still have the light blue script. Mine's outdated. I got to get one. A copy of yours. And so they're just scrambling to just kind of chase after whatever new bit of contradictory information Donald Trump has forced into the conversation and all of this.
It's one you can hold in your hand. It's one that for Republicans, and again, I say some Republicans are already making up excuses and making up stories and making up defenses for this. But the real picture to them really is blurry.
Mm-hmm.
And to most Republicans, it's blurry right now. it's going to come into focus, I think, rather rapidly at this point, considering the seriousness of this potential crime. This is in effect, the legal definition of bribery. It is, therefore, a high crime and highly impeachable. In fact, that's the thing. You know, Nancy was worried about a number of things, and frankly, a lot of her concerns were legitimate. There, of course, was a heavy price to pay for her reticence to launch impeachment hearings. But I understood that she was using the math. And what we realized is things like legislation and litigation and investigations don't work in this case, that we have to go another way, and the only remaining remedy is impeachment. She finally sees, I think, now that it is beyond inevitable and that it's, in fact, mandatory that this president be impeached for these crimes.
Well, Donald Trump is feeling the heat because of the latest chatter about impeachment and the growing tsunami that's nearing his face. He tweeted out here just as we were starting the show today, Buzz. He said, "I am currently at the United Nations representing our country, but have authorized the release tomorrow of the complete, fully declassified an unredacted transcript of my phone conversation with President Zelensky of Ukraine. You will see it was a very friendly and totally appropriate call. No pressure, and unlike Joe Biden and his son, no quid pro quo." See, I love how he shoehorns that one in there about Joe Biden.
Right, because that's part of the legal definition of bribery.
Yeah, exactly right.
I don't believe it. I don't think that we'll see an honest version. And furthermore, and maybe this will surprise some folks, I'm against the public release of this conversation.
Yeah, me too.
I don't think Ukraine can ever, or any other national leader, can ever speak in confidence with the president again without fear that conversation will be made public. We can't have that. But we do have intelligence committees in the House and Senate who have the security clearances to review that material on our behalf. And that's where something like that, at least in that situation, we wouldn't have to worry about countries not talking to our presidents privately in the future.
Well, two things on this. The first thing, and I agree with you. In fact, Michael McFaul said something along the same lines on Rachel Maddow last night. But there are two additional aspects of this, which is one, how can we be sure the transcript hasn't been edited? I mean, how do we know? Yeah, how do we know that he hasn't taken out damning sections of the thing? And if it's all there, if in fact it bears out to be the entire conversation, there are many more potential conversations. Plus, we have to remember that he talks in coded languages. That's Donald Trump. Donald Trump speaks in terms that aren't necessarily like, okay, you do this for me and then I'll do this for you. That is not going to be
not
in
how
there.
A mob boss operates.
No, of course
you
not.
You say, nice country you have there, Ukraine. Be a shame if anything happened to it.
That's
by the way, have you investigated Joe Biden yet?
How's Crimea doing, by the way? Yeah. You know, but the thing is, it's probably just going to be a lot of Donald Trump saying, well, you know, corruption and Biden and just like throwing that in there just as a hint. And exactly separating out the mentions of the money with the mentions of the Biden investigation and so on. So it's going to be spread around. I think we should prepare ourselves for it to be damning, but not as obvious as you would see in a movie, for example. This is going to be fuzzy language.
You never know. Yeah. Tune in for the show because other witnesses can and will be subpoenaed and called to testify.
Yeah.
And because here's the a fun fact about that phone call and about other instances in which Trump or Giuliani or others applied pressure to Ukraine. Here's the fun part about that. The whistleblower is not the only witness.
Mm-hmm.
Whistleblower is not the only witness.
Right.
Others saw and heard this happen too. Well, let's start talking to them.
And in fact, the whistleblower likely has a transcript him or herself and probably tapes, audio recordings of all of the various conversations.
Lordy, I hope there are tapes.
I know. And so what you'll be able to do or at least Adam Schiff and Nancy Pelosi and Jerry Nadler will be able to do, is to check out some side-by-side comparisons between the Trump version of the conversation and the actual whistleblower version of the conversation. And I think the side-by-side contrast will be interesting to look at.
And I'm fine. And I'm fine if that occurs behind closed doors and then the lawmakers come out and tell us what they can tell us about those documents and that comparison.
All right, we've got it now. This is just came down for the Washington Post. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi to announce formal impeachment inquiry of Trump after resisting for months. There we go. Yeah. Here we are. We're off to the races now. You know, I started the number of days of the impeachment of Donald Trump at the top of the show. I started doing that after the Nadler vote, and I stopped because this is now going to be the real deal. So I'll restart that particular date or that series of numbers at the top of the show. That'll start all over again, and no one cares, so I don't even know why I'm talking about it.
But, I care. I can't wait to hear the new numbers. It's time for a change. It's time. This is a turning point. So this is a good time to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And
you mentioned that Trump says he's going to release the transcripts now. It's apparently official, or he says that he will. And, I hope that doesn't happen. That's kind of where we left off.
Yeah. Well, again, if he releases the full unredacted transcripts, there's a very real possibility that he's going to expose sources and methods, things that he shouldn't be exposing to public scrutiny.
Once again,
if that ends up being the case, he's threatening national security to save his own ass. I mean, it's just another example of...
Well.
Yeah.
Or as we call it, Tuesday.
Yes. That's right. So, okay. Well, we're going to continue discussing this here because there's so many different details, so much nuance to all of us that we need to get into. But first, let me talk to you about Brooklinen. And Brooklinen is back. I'm so happy that Brooklinen is back. I love my Brooklinen sheets. Kimberly Johnson loves her Brooklinen sheets. We still use them to this day. Since you spend a third of your life in bed, shouldn't your bed sheets be insanely comfortable so you can sleep well? Well, with markups of up to 300%, those nice hotel sheets are really super expensive and hard to get, or at least they were before brooklinen.com. I love my Brooklinen sheets, and it's not just me. 500,000 people now sleep in affordable luxury because brooklinen.com cut out the middlemen and made ordering easy. Their service is great. Good housekeeping named Brooklinen, the best of online bedding, and they were the first in the business. Since then, brooklinen.com's gotten over 35,000 five-star reviews, more than any other bedding company, and Brooklinen sheets come in more than 20 colors and patterns. It's easy to mix and match. It's a great place to gift shop too for candles and towels and robes and sleep masks and so much more. In fact, my Brooklinen sheets are the best, the most comfortable sheets I've ever slept on, and their towels have turned my bathroom into a spa. And I couldn't recommend them more for friends, family, or treating yourself to the upgrade you deserve. And Brooklinen.com has an exclusive offer just for you. Get 10% off and free shipping when you use the promo code BOBC at brooklinen.com. Don't worry, I'll put the link and the promo code on the podcast page so you can find it at bobseska.com. That's brooklinen.com, promo code BOBC. Brooklinen's so confident you'll love your new sheets, comforters, and towels. They come with a lifetime warranty, but the only way to get 10% off and free shipping is to use the promo code BOBC at brooklinen.com. That's BROOKLINEN.com, promo code BOBC. Brooklinen, and they are the best of sheets ever.
The Bob Seska Show. It felt as if I had somebody tugging at my coat. I was penniless and desperate and on a sinking boat. I turned to my oppressor. Find me standing there. I sought my confessor, but it seemed she didn't care. I looked at her and she at me. And we
this is one of my favorites from the show. Of all the music we play here on the show, Michael McDermott is one of my favorites. Absolutely. Black Tree Blue Sky from the Orphans album. I mentioned this when we first played Michael McDermott on the show. This is a song from an album of all of the songs that didn't make his actual album. And they're amazing. So, yeah, Michael McDermott, link in the description below.
We'll take that.
Yeah, 100%. Okay, so, by the way, we've got Robbie Rist tomorrow on the interview show. Cousin Oliver from the Brady Bunch is going to be on my telephone tomorrow.
Cool.
Yeah, very it's cool. The 50th anniversary of the premiere of the Brady Bunch. And Buzz, Kimberly and I have spent way too many hours talking about the Brady Bunch on the after party.
I'm sure you did.
Yeah. And I'm going to be exposing my Brady fandom to the general audience of the show tomorrow in the interview show.
Marsha.
With Robbie Rist. And of course, then our show will get canceled like five episodes later. So,
oh, no.
Well, that's what happened to the Brady Bunch. But it wasn't, right. I swear to God, it wasn't Cousin Oliver's fault. The writing on that fifth season of the Brady Bunch was less than good. And he did the best he could. He was great on that show. I thought he was great. He was cute. He was good performances. And so we'll talk to Robbie tomorrow on the show.
It's almost always, I mean, the performers do so much, but it's almost always about the writing that makes or breaks a show.
Yeah, no doubt. And oh my God, by the way, this popped into my head. Have you seen the new trailer for the Breaking Bad movie that's coming out on the 11th?
I have not with sound yet. No, I've seen it go by. I've been very busy.
Yeah,
but
yeah, that's true.
I'm excited about it. And remember, I've got a real dilemma here because I thought I had this under control. I never watched Breaking Bad when it was on. I heard great acclaim, and I thought, I'll get to it. And then Better Call Saul came along.
Oh, there you go.
So I dived in at the beginning of Better Call Saul, understanding that it was a continuation of a story I had not seen.
Yeah.
And it was my plan, my genius plan, was to watch out all of Better Call Saul, and then go back, and watch Breaking Bad and see what led up to that
point. I see. Good plan.
Well, and then now they've derailed it with this movie. So I'm in denial. I'm pretending the movie doesn't exist until after I have seen Breaking Bad.
All right. So getting back into things here.
Yes.
Why is Rudy still doing things? That's my big question. All this, because part of this is Rudy's fault. I mean, Rudy handled this poorly to the point where, yeah, you know what? This story isn't brand new. We've been talking about this story. In fact, I think it broke in May. I think that's when we first started hearing about Ukraine and Biden and all of that. And that's partly because Rudy is such a ham-fisted moron that he's, again, walking into his own propeller, just like his boss, Donald Trump. So I guess when they're both morons, they don't see the moronic behavior of each other.
Yeah.
They say, that's totally normal, what he's doing. Yeah, well, you're normal, too. Oh, great, we're both normal together. But outside, they both look like idiots.
You mentioned May, and that's when Trump and Rudy began their pressure on Ukraine. So this was all part of a campaign, a coordinated campaign from the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Not very well coordinated, as you pointed out. You mentioned earlier that Trump is in a corner and Giuliani's in a corner. Here's how you can tell. The more in a corner they get, the bigger Giuliani can open his eyes.
That's right. And boy, again, talk about the viciousness of the fire hose of news. The Rudy Giuliani meltdown last week on CNN is not even.
Of course I did.
You scared the shit out of me right there. but no, that was not. It's not even being discussed anymore as a thing, except for us right now. But
no, like tumbleweeds, they just pass by.
That's right. What I'm on the edge of my seat about in all of this is what Bill Barr's role is going to be moving forward, because I get the sense that at some point
right now,
as the impeachment process continues to expand and expand and expand, and more possibly Republicans fall into the pro-impeachment category, Donald Trump is going to become increasingly desperate and frenetic. And one of the things that I think he may do is he may have a conversation with Bill Barr about appointing a special prosecutor to investigate Joe Biden. That's one of the many possibilities, or at the very least, ordering the FBI and Christopher Wray to investigate Joe Biden. I think that is certainly one of the things that Bill Barr is capable of doing.
Possible.
Yeah.
I'm actually more concerned about, and I'm very concerned about that, don't get me wrong, but I'm equally or more concerned about what he's doing quietly behind the scenes right now.
Yeah.
Especially over this whistleblower thing.
Mm-hmm.
And as I, you know, I'm going to have to, something just occurred to me, a memory came back to me that Barr has had some experience and has some views on the subject of impeachment that could be, I believe, very helpful to the president. I need to go back and revisit that to see just what that is. But I think resisting impeachment might just be one of Barr's specialties.
Yeah.
And we've heard a little bit about, oh, we had the Justice Department, you know, but you haven't heard much about Barr himself. He's laying low while doing what?
Yeah. Well, what we already know is that Bill Barr was already asked by Donald Trump to potentially look into Joe Biden. And no one's talked to Bill Barr. I don't think Bill Barr, as you said, he's laying low. He hasn't made a statement one way or another in terms of what the DOJ is going to be doing in terms of backstopping Donald Trump and all this. And make no mistake, this, we're not talking about America's top cop. We're talking about a guy who is Donald Trump's personal Tom Hagen. I mean, this guy is all about fixing for Donald Trump. And so he will do whatever he has to do, whatever Donald Trump wants him to do to screw with this whole process. And, you know, I'm mentioning this only because I think we all need to be prepared in some way for whatever Donald Trump's major reaction to this impeachment is going to be. It's going to be tough.
Yeah, it could get crazy. It's going to be ugly. You know, I wish this were more fun, but it's going to be really. I mean, it's satisfying.
It is.
The achievement of justice is incredibly satisfying.
Yeah.
But it's going to be tough. It's going to be an ugly custody battle this country.
Well, we just have another bit of breaking news here. This is what an insane day this has been so far, and it's only just getting started. According to Raw Story, which I assume is based on another source, the whistleblower has asked to speak with the House Intelligence Committee. This came down 3 minutes ago, and this is from this is from the source. This is from Adam Schiff, who just tweeted, "We have been informed by the whistleblower's counsel that their client would like to speak to our committee and has requested guidance from the acting DNI as to how to do so. We're in touch with counsel and look forward to the whistleblower's testimony as soon as I'm getting the music ready as soon as this week." Holy fucking frijoles. So Donald Trump's going to release this transcript, and then we're going to hear from the whistleblower, probably in a closed hearing at the intelligence community. But I assume at some point we'll get a readout from Adam Schiff as to whether or not the transcripts match up, which is one of those things where I'm just... Right. I'm getting ready. I'm getting in that posture where I'm thinking, man, they're not going to match. He's gonna take something out. It's going to be the 18-minute gap in the Nixon tapes all over again.
I would send you more popcorn, but I don't think you've picked up the last package I sent.
That's right. Shit. You sent me something like weeks ago, and I think what they did, and this drives me nuts. The sometimes they drop off packages at our apartment door. Sometimes they drop off the packages at the mailboxes downstairs. Sometimes they decide to drop off the packages at the UPS boxes at the Giant, which is next to us. And then sometimes they drop them off at the apartment complex offices. So to me, whenever I get a package coming, I don't know where the hell it's going to end up being. So I feel terrible. Just, I need to walk down there.
It's just four simple stops. You just make the circuit, and it's going to be one of those. It was timely when I sent it to you.
God, I feel so bad.
You'll love it.
I'm going to walk down there right after this show. That's what I'm going to do, God damn it. And the reason I haven't, I'm just going to blame Donald Trump, right? Thanks, Trump.
I would send you popcorn for this because I think what you said is what we're going to see.
Yeah.
And this goes to my prediction that this would begin to happen very quickly once it finally began. Mm-hmm. I think you're going to see this thing really snowball at this point. And it's important that it does. It can't drag on. People are sick of this. Let's get a clear case out there and be done with it. I think it's telling that Trump would say that he's releasing the transcripts simultaneous to the announcement that Pelosi is going to impeach, simultaneous to Schiff saying he's got the testimony of the whistleblower. And I also want to say about the whistleblower, too. I think one of us should say this. This is an American hero. This is someone very courageous, and here's why. They've not just ruined or risked or ruined their career, likely ruined it, by doing this. And they did that because they believed that this was important and this was right.
Mm-hmm.
And they sacrificed their income and their livelihood and their passion for a bigger passion for this democratic republic. And that has to be, and it also has to be acknowledged that they did this at great risk, and they continue to be at great risk. I was struck by Adam Schiff's assertion that although he would welcome a visit from the whistleblower, he could not really offer him any protection, considering the position the Justice Department has taken in terms of seeing the whistleblower as illegitimate, when in fact he or she went through channels. What? But again, just one of several witnesses.
Yeah, I think Kimberly Johnson was going to come in with some breaking news.
Oh,
here,
please, please.
What were you going to say?
I just didn't know if your show was over.
No, I'm still doing. Did you have news for us? I know, I've seen the news. No? Well, yes, okay, we've got that.
Check,
got
that. Check all the mailboxes.
Go check the mailboxes. Buzz sent us something. I keep forgetting to go down to the office. Just letting you know. Yeah.
We
yeah. It's in the office. Oh, okay, great. Very cool.
Sorry, I didn't have anything more exciting.
Okay, there she goes.
Okay. Agree.
Yeah, there we go. Okay.
A great cameo.
Kimberly Johnson always, in the studio, ladies and gentlemen.
Always welcome here.
All right. You know, I'm going to talk about Donald Trump's UN speech here in just a second. But first, I want to talk about ButcherBox, brand new to the show, ButcherBox. All right, get ready. Here we go. As part of my fitness program, as you may or may not know, I eat so much protein every goddamn day, about 220 grams of protein every day. So I'm really, really picky about my meat products. But thanks to ButcherBox, I don't have to worry about getting quality meats conveniently delivered to my door. Every month, I receive a selection of the very best meat without leaving my house. All of ButcherBox's meat is free of antibiotics and added hormones. We're talking up to 11 pounds of meat, enough for 24 meals in each and every ButcherBox. I'm also able to customize my box so I can get exactly the meats that I want. This month, in fact, I received the following: 2 10-ounce strip steaks, 2 1-pound portions of ground beef, 2 boneless pork chops, ButcherBox apple smoked bacon, I love bacon, 1 2.25-pound bottom round roast, and 2 organic chicken breasts. How about them apples? I'm already getting the meat sweats just talking about it. And right now, ButcherBox is offering new members ground beef for life. You are going to get ground beef for life if you sign up right now. That's 2 pounds of ground beef in every box for the life of your subscription, plus $20 off your first box. Just go to butcherbox.com/sexyliberal or enter sexyliberal as the promo code at checkout, right? That's butcherbox.com/sexyliberal or enter promo code sexyliberal at checkout. Thank you for supporting this show by supporting ButcherBox. Again, that's butcherbox.com/sexyliberal.
Bob Seska.
There's a new song from Skyseeker. It's a song called Tabula Rasa. And in case you want to know, Tabula Rasa is the theory that individuals are born without built-in mental content and that therefore all knowledge comes from experience or perception. So see, we learn a little something new every show, right?
Unless we were born with it.
Unless we were born with it, right? Yeah,
right.
Exactly. Okay, and by the way, ButcherBox does come to my front door. It lands right there on my welcome mat.
See, you Patreon subscribers, you don't get the commercials.
Yeah, I know.
Bob actually said a minute ago that he could choose the meat for his box. I don't know what that means.
I know. I had to read that entire commercial without putting those two things together.
Yes.
Which would have gotten me in trouble, and which is probably still getting me in trouble anyway. Okay, let's talk about Donald Trump at the UN today. He was Ambien talking. He was Ambien speechifying today at the UN, apparently, because he was half asleep and probably I would say severely distracted. That's how mm-hmm. I would put this.
What do you suppose is on his mind, Bob?
Well, a little something called impeachment is what's on his mind. Yeah, there we go. But yeah, so he was at the UN. He delivered this awful, awful speech, which was just painful to listen to, just in terms of getting a taste of the overall. There's nothing special about what he says here. Right. Just get the overall taste of the somnambulant nature of Donald Trump's teleprompter.
Zero in on the drone here.
Tyranny advances under many names and many theories, but it always comes down to the desire for domination. It protects not the interests of many, but the privilege of few.
President's napping.
Our founders gave us a system designed to restrain.
Oh my God!
This dangerous impulse.
So
seems so harmless when he's sleeping.
No, it's so sweet.
I have never heard him that subdued. Right. It's like he's barely awake.
Yeah, let's get a little more of this here.
By those who love it, by citizens who are rooted in its history, who are nourished by its culture, committed to its values.
You know, K.T. McFarlane. Remember, K.T. McFarlane was the deputy under Mike Flynn. And she said on Fox News Channel right after the speech, "That was the best speech I ever heard Donald Trump deliver."
Of course.
Jesus Christ. It was like, you know what it reminded me of? A really shitty version of the Jeff Bridges sleep tape. Remember the Jeff Bridges sleep tape where it's basically Jeff Bridges just did a bunch of things, tracks where he's just talking and you're supposed to listen to it as you're nodding off to sleep. It's supposed to help you. Yeah, here's a little bit of Jeff Bridges sleep tape.
Hey, you want a glass of water?
This is a real thing.
Yeah. Yeah, water. We need water, although I don't know if you're like me. You drink some water before you go to bed. You're getting up a couple of times during the night.
So I'm thinking like the next bit of MAGA merchandise that he could sell on his website is the Donald Trump sleep tape.
Yeah. It could be an app. You could do an app on the phone.
That's right. And just they can have this. They can use the lullaby music too. Just,
tyranny advances under many names and many theories, but already. It always comes down to the desire.
Are you falling asleep?
No, but that is, I'm stunned. That is so subdued. It isn't about being subdued. It's beyond that. He's not quite with it. And you know what it is? It's like you said, distracted, depressed. It's like a little Johnny gets up in front of the class to give a book report and the teacher at the end says, "Johnny, everything okay at home?" that's kind of what you'd say in that situation. And that's what he sounds like here. It's striking.
Yeah. And in fact, at some point in the speech, I would say in the latter half of the speech, his mouth started getting all wacky again. Remember that thing that happens with his mouth where it sounds like his tongue swells up or something and he can't manipulate his mouth?
You know, he's got the bowl of Adderall and the bowl. Yeah. And it's hard to keep him straight.
That's right.
One makes you bigger, one makes you small.
Right. Oh, holy shit. Yes, our high quality, high energy president right there.
Yeah, Sleepy Joe Biden looks like a speed freak.
Yeah, I know. God. Yes, you cannot possibly say that he can't use that nickname anymore. He can't.
Joe's a cokehead compared to that delivery. Good Lord. Sleepy Joe, my ass. Wow.
Yeah. Well, so meanwhile, speaking of the UN, the Republicans are busily shaming Greta Thunberg because the Republicans love attacking children. And they still have this thing where they're not willing to admit that there is a climate crisis and it is caused by people and that they need to get their shit together or else we're all doomed. And I'm talking about human beings. Sure. I mean, we're basically... Right. As Greta was basically saying at the UN, we are creating our own extinction. And
they're also pissed that a 15 or 16 year old is smarter and more articulate than are they.
Yeah,
that's what really pisses them off. I mean, I've seen stuff from the far right that indicates that, well, look what they've done here. Look what the liberals have done. They've chosen this little blonde European girl with the braids. And that's what Hitler used in his propaganda.
Oh, yeah.
The Aryan race. So clearly, liberals have chosen Greta Thunberg. And then there was the guy on Fox News who called her mentally ill.
Yeah.
Yeah, what is it with children? I mean, they want them stowed in overhead compartments on flights. The cruelty is unbelievable. What they've done to the immigrant children and now this, you know, what is it about kids?
Yeah, you know, it's funny you bring that up because, you know, just the general attack on children. I've been documenting this, Buzz, for years now, maybe 10 plus years. I've been kind of keeping an ongoing list of all the times there has been a Republican jihad against some kid, whether it was Graham Frost. I mean, this is a head injury survivor just asking for S-CHIP to be renewed, or there was a kid.
Healthcare?
Yeah. Well, there was a kid who stood next to Barack Obama when he signed the Affordable Care Act. I think his name was Marcellus Owens. He was relentlessly attacked by the conservative entertainment complex. I mean, Michelle Malkin literally stalked Graham Frost and like driving up to his house and trying to see if his family was actually destitute enough to be able to qualify for S-CHIP. I mean, it's an amazing series of events. Trayvon Martin, of course, was posthumously doxxed by all of these racist Jack Wongs who just couldn't, figure out how to properly address an issue without attacking a child. I mean, it's just case after case after case. I have no idea what the deal is. And then in addition to that one Fox News guy about Greta Thunberg, Laura Ingraham referred to her as children of the corn. And then Donald Trump said she seems like this seems like a very happy young girl looking forward to a bright and wonderful future. So nice to see. Of course, hilarious.
But see, in my opinion, and I heard all that and I saw that, but I also saw this. And in my opinion, Greta Thunberg gets the last word. And it's that there's one camera angle in particular, a couple of shots of this. But there's one that starts close on, the shot starts close on Greta's face.
Yeah.
As she awaits the arrival of Trump. And then it zooms out to catch his arrival. And that glare that she gave him. Yeah. And as somebody said, this represents how we all feel. And yeah, I think it does. Most of us anyway. Any of those of us who care about the planet and about the future and about the children.
Yeah, and that shot in particular, I think, deserves a Pulitzer Prize. I think that was such a beautiful shot. That was a cinematic shot. Yes. That was like selling out
on a cell phone. A cell phone, and they killed it. They did a beautiful job of it. Starts on Greta's face tight, and then zooms out to catch Trump entering the picture. We never lose sight of Greta, and she's glaring with her arms folded as she stares at this man who seems to not only not want to help the environment and prevent climate change. He seems to want to make it worse.
Yeah. And you know what? No one has more a right to speak out about the climate crisis than a 16-year-old girl, a child who is going to have to endure the worst parts about this long after you and I are gone, Buzz. She and her generation, they face an adulthood that is going to be running from one natural disaster after another because of the climate crisis. So of all the people who deserves an audience with the United Nations to be able to stand up there and say what needs to be said without censorship, without holding back in terms of her anger, she's the one who should be able to do it. And people like her.
Yeah. Knowledgeable, passionate, articulate, and right.
Yeah.
On the right side of history. And it's another case of just like after the Parkland shooting in Florida, the mass gun murder there, it was the children who took the lead. It was the children who became the adults. And we're seeing it here with climate change as well.
Yeah.
Clearly, we have screwed up. And some of us have known this all along and tried to prevent it. We didn't succeed. I am very encouraged to see young people like the Parkland survivors and Greta to come forward like this, and others, kids demonstrating around the world for climate change, thanks to Greta Thunberg.
Yeah, exactly. And I feel like in observing the rise of white supremacy and fascist leaders in the world, and Vladimir Putin obviously creating the fertile environments for all of that to happen. When I observe all of that, I get really distressed and upset and thinking, oh God, are we watching the decline now? And then I see kids like Greta Thunberg, and I see the Parkland students and so on, and I'm encouraged, and I feel better about it, because I feel like there's a generation of Americans, a generation of citizens of the world, children who are standing up and saying, you know what? We're the ones dodging bullets. We're the ones who are going to be dodging the wildfires and the devastating hurricanes for the next however many decades. We're tired of this. And you people, you adults who are going to be long gone when all that shit goes down, you need to pay attention and you need to start moving, because we don't have a say in how the government operates yet. But when we do, there are going to be some changes put into place. And that's really encouraging to me.
When it comes to crises, we humans are a fourth quarter team. We don't really rally. We don't really rally until, and sometimes, often too late. Mm-hmm. But we wait until these reach crisis proportions. If we don't cut carbon emissions by a third immediately, we will reach very soon, very, very soon, a point of no return.
That's right.
And I mean within your lifetime and mine, perhaps, mm-hmm. even.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, as we observe the ongoing disaster of the climate crisis, we have the impeachment to look forward to.
Which could change everything. I mean, we talk about impeaching Kavanaugh. We talk about impeaching Wilbur Ross. Wilbur. But you know what? If we impeach Trump, that and even the environment, we can take care of a lot of things.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Well, and again, we don't know quite how this is going to turn out in the Senate. I was thinking maybe a year ago that if there was an impeachment vote and it would go to a trial in the Senate, that there was no shot of a conviction in the Senate. I'm not
let's
so sure
talk
now.
About that.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's talk about that in the postmortem show here.
Yeah, sounds good. Because I'm feeling a little better about that. This is a matter of a preview. Lots more to talk about on the Postmortem Show coming up on our Patreon page. That's BobSeskaShow.com, also Patreon.com/BobSeskaShow. Meanwhile, stand by on Thursday. The best hour of news you're going to hear all week. It's Buzz Burbank News and Comment, found at BuzzBurbank.com, also RealmNetwork.com, and every place you get your podcasts, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, and all points in between. Don't forget it. Also, the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network includes this show, and it includes Jody Hamilton's From the Bunker Podcast, plus Stephanie Miller's Happy Hour, Randy Rhodes' After Hours, Dino Badala's I Want to Be Your Muslim Friend, Sanity with John Fugelsang. By the way, I'm going to be on John Fugelsang's show in studio on Friday. That's going to be fun. John's going to be in Washington, D.C. at the Sirius XM Studios in Washington, and I'm going to be there too. Exciting. Also, let's see who else is on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. Final Word with Frangela, Great Rude Pundit, and so many more. Dana Goldberg and all the rest. That's sexyliberal.com. Make sure to give all those shows a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts, including Buzz Burbank News and Comment. How about that? All right, Postmortem Show coming up next. See you over there, folks. Bye-bye.
Hey, this is Lee Papa, host of AGD Podcast with the Rude Pundit. If you enjoyed this episode, you'll love my show, where every week I talk about politics and interview funny, fascinating, and filthy people. Find it at sexyliberal.com and on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, and everywhere else you get your podcasts.